الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. As we tried to explain yesterday, that roza, fasting, must be kept completely. And in fact, the ulama have written that where Allah has said, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that rozas have been made faraz upon you, is that roza has been made faraz on every part of the body also. Not only the three main farais that we know about, that we abstain from food and drink and our lust and lustful desires, but that every part of the body also rozas have been made for us. And until we don't keep a complete roza, we only abstain from food and drink and our carnal desires, then that roza, the structure of roza is there. The faraz is done. Allah won't question, why didn't you keep the roza? Roza you have kept, but the finishing is not done. Just as the example we gave, you have a house, well, the structure is up, but the house is still, we know, it's not complete. In fact, when many things are done, still the house, especially the woman folk, they won't be prepared to move in the house till the tiling is done, the carpeting is done, all the fixtures and fittings are in place, lights, etc., all that. And in fact, they even want the garden to be done. In fact, they even want the security fence to be put up. Then it is complete. So a roza also, just the bare basics, the basics are done. Roza is done. But without the completion and the finishing touches, we don't get the beauty and the final and the full benefit of the roza. Another example by which we can understand this, if a person buys at 5 rand and he sells at 5 rand, he will be perhaps the busiest businessman for a few days, because nobody else will be selling so cheap. But he will be out of business also just as soon, because now he hasn't got money to pay his workers, to pay his overheads, water, lights, rentals, if there are, all those things. So if he's making a profit, then he will be in business, and in business for a long time. And also, this business of his, that is, of making profit, that is why, that is what keeps a businessman in business. Otherwise, to be every day at work, at shop, to open the shop, to tolerate all your workers, every day there are problems. If it's not this worker, it's that worker. To tolerate all your customers, they all come with different vibes and that, and you have to satisfy your customer also all the time. You have to make your customer happy. Then, of course, in today's setup, there are so many government structures which control the business, especially the tax men, and you are worried about that also all the time. Then the people of cleanliness and hygiene, they might have if you have got a butchery, there are different laws there. Foodstuffs you are processing, there are different laws there. But what keeps a person going in spite of all these things? It is profits. And then again, another thing is that there are today robberies that take place. People come and rob you. You work so hard, and they rob you. But you know the risks are there all the time. Your health is not good sometimes. You have got a flu, but you say, I have to go to work. I have to be there to see that things go right. All these things a person tolerates because he's making profit. So let us try to understand in that way, that if we learn what the profits of roza are, of fasting. We are so used to using the word roza, and I'm sure everyone understands it now. Fasting, in Malay language, puasa, siyam, som, but we all understand. So anyway, because if a person starts making the profit of this, not only that he's bought at 5 rand and sold at 5 rand, but he's making a profit and a good profit, that person will be keen to be in business all the time. So keen that he won't only keep the rozas, the fasts of Ramadan, but even outside Ramadan he'll keep also. when he's making the prophet. If he's not making a prophet, then he wouldn't want to keep rozas even in Ramzan. It will be like a burden to him. He knows it's a farad, I have to keep it, but he won't get that enjoyment in it. Just like during the December period for a retailer, a person who has got a retail shop, he knows he has to go earlier to shop. He'll have to stay extra hours. Usually if he closes between lunchtime, during that period, busy time, he doesn't close for lunch also. He's just carrying on working all the time. Why is he doing all that? Because he's making a profit. So like that, we also have to make keep a complete roza. Then our roza structure, what is for final touches, are all finished. That is what a person enjoys that. Or we are doing business and we are making huge profits in our business. That is what we will be eagerly to do. So to make a roza complete, well, amongst the other things, we have to keep rozas of the eyes as well. The Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, Allah has made rozas for us on the eyes also. In this we clearly understand a person, he saves himself from looking at his own wife. That in Ramzan, it is not permissible to look at your wife with lust and desire during the day. That is the while you are keeping roza. At night, Allah has given permission, but during the day, you are not supposed to look at her with lust and desire. And she's your legal wife, halal wife she is. So when your halal wife is not legal, is not permitted to look at with lust and desire, how can it ever be possible to look at a haram woman with lust and desire? Yeah, with your wife, during roza, to look with lust and desire is haram, not because she is haram, she is halal for you. You talk with her, she's with you in the house, everything. You speak to her, no problem whatsoever. But that haram desire, which is also halal with her, but in roza it is haram. But with another woman, that desire is haram all the time, forever, with another woman. And plus that her desire is haram, and she is not allowed for you. Your wife is allowed for you, but in roza she is not allowed. But like that, the other woman is not allowed at any time for you. So it's a double haram. So we should think that instead of making profit, it must not happen that we are suffering a loss. Like you did a sale, for example, but you sold expired goods, for example. You thought you made a profit, but that person took you to court for it. And perhaps he sued you. And now you have to pay out so much more money. You thought you were making a profit, but now that he's suing you or whatever else, whatever the law, its implications are, now you are suffering a loss. So like that we are keeping roza, but if we are looking at other women, it must not come out by Allah Ta'ala, or yeah, even in this world, that actually we were suffering a loss, we were looking at haram. So therefore the control of the eye is also very, and that is, if the whole month we keep our rozas, the basic things also which we have to do, by which the farz is done, but we keep our rozas of the eyes as well, then we will get the benefit of that. And the benefit of it is that inshaAllah, for the rest of the year, the looking of the eyes will become easy for you. You won't misuse your eyes looking at other women. If for 1 month, and then also Allah has made it so practical and so easy that in the month of Ramadan, the whole environment is such. And especially for those of us who have come here and who are here for our islah, for our spiritual reformation. We are spending whatever amount of time that we have come here. So yeah, in the masjid environment, there are no women. It is so easy. But outside, those people who have to go to shops, who have to go to offices, and many are working in their offices with women. For example, a person, optometrist, he has to look directly into the eyes of the woman also. Even in roza, if a female customer comes and he has to look that, Allah saved us from all that. We are here and practically we see no woman around us. But then again, shaitan is working, and is working not only double fast, we don't know how fast he's working. For one, we know that today one very big fitna that we are all facing is the fitna of the cell phone, which somebody have said very nicely, if we don't use it in the right way, then it's a hell phone. That with that same phone that can do so much for you, that same phone can take you to hell. And we start it also with hello. We tell the person, hell, you go to hell and you go to the lowest place of hell. And usually that takes place mostly on the phone. Like that, if you speak to somebody, you will make salam. But on the phone, even if you don't understand something, you tell him again hello. Because you haven't understood, you're sending him to hell again. So if we don't use the cell phone right, it becomes a real hell phone. And it will take us to hell. So that we have to be very careful about. Then there is one stage further which we will come to, inshallah, more worse than the cell phone also. Just remind me. But the cell phone, we must be very careful. Today it has become like in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, especially the initial days of Madinatul Munawwara, they head to head, they sword, have their sword with them, their weapon, all the time. Without their weapon, it was because the munafiqeen were there, the Jews were there. At any time there could be attack from outside, and all these things happened also all the time. And also it was a small little town. There were also, for that reason, on the walking stick at the bottom, a nail was permitted, because snakes might come out, scorpions you might encounter. So they lived in that life all the time. So they couldn't imagine, in fact, that one person who came as a guest to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came amongst other people, and his character was such that nobody else was prepared to host him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will host him. And then that person, he messed the bed at night, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cleansed it, the Mubarak hands of Nabuwat, the pure, clean hands of Nabuwat. But the guest, he messed up the place, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cleaning it. And then that person came back again, because he forgot his sword. This is what I wanted to show, how important the sword was to them. They couldn't stay without the sword. He had to be with them all the time. Like a person who lives in a dangerous environment, he has to have his firearm with him all the time. Or a policeman, for example, he goes into such situations where there is crime, where there can be people who are shooting, so he has to have his firearm. He has to have his bulletproof vest on all the time. All these things for his protection. So like that, the cell phone has come to everyone today, that a person just can't do without his cell phone. And amongst how many health reasons which are highlighted from time to time, but yet a person will sleep with the cell phone under his pillow, which is so harmful for him, but he will sleep with the cell phone under his pillow. The cell phone a person will keep during the day in the pocket right next to his heart. And the radiation of the cell phone, these things are highlighted all the time in different sources, but yet a person will keep it right next to his heart. He will keep it under his head. He will keep it just by his pillow. And this radiation is causing him harm all the time. And because of that, we are hearing of new sicknesses, illnesses, which were not heard of before. Anyway, so this cell phone, and what today you can access on it. You literally have got the world in your palm when you have got a cell phone. You can make contact almost anywhere in the world. You can buy something from China sitting here. One friend of mine who are in the carpet business, they say before when we want to order our carpets, we had to send specifications, we had to send photos, we had to fax it or whatever else. Before that was by post, etc. But now he says you just take a picture and you just press a few buttons and they've got it there in China. And they know exactly what they want, what you want, and they will send it for you here. Today, how many people are doing big business just sitting behind the computer all the time? And they are ordering and selling and buying and doing things. With the cell phone, the whole computer today, they put it on the cell phone for you. It is all there for you. So, and what programs and what applications there all the time. So we who have come here, right at the beginning we said, in fact before Ramzan, those who came to spend 40 days, I don't think we repeated it again, but we suggested that a person who has come, which is also synonymous to i'tikaf,
Though basically, our niyat is not i'tikaf. I'tikaf is welcome for Ramadan, and especially the last 10 days, it is sunnat-e muakkada alal kifaya. If a few people of that masjid area do the i'tikaf, it is sufficient for everyone. But our main objective of coming here is for our islah. And that is what we learn from our akabir and our buzurgs also. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh had his 40 days program. But the whole object was also islah of the people. So that is our purpose. So at the beginning we suggested one great aspect. What does i'tikaf mean? What is i'tikaf, Mufti Muhammad? Seclusion. It means seclusion. But with a cell phone, how can you be secluded? You have got contact to the last corner of the world. You are no more secluded. So if a person really wants to have the benefit of i'tikaf, then he should not keep his cell phone with him. We suggest that hand it in at the office, etc. Otherwise, we have got contact all the time, everywhere. If it is absolutely essential, then we should try and keep a cell phone. And in fact, if it is not for our business, etc., today it is a thing of status. That when you take out your cell phone, your status is determined what kind, in which category you fall. What kind of a cell phone have you got? If you've got one person in Malawi, just when cell phones came out, he had his cell phone on his passenger seat, and he went into the shop to do some work, whatever it was. When he came back, they broke the window and they stole his phone. But the crooks were waiting and they gave him back his phone. And they used the B word and told him, "You fool, you be fool, in future see that you keep not a brick as a cell phone, but that you keep the latest model. You wasted our time breaking the window and for us to steal your cell phone." The first cell phones that came out, they were like big and heavy and like bricks. And today's cell phone, so slim and so smart and so the weight, hardly any weight in it compared to those phones. So anyway, so today a person, his status is determined by the kind of car that he drives, by the kind of house he lives in. And this is a great deception that we have fallen into. For example, in your house, and that is how you determine your status, that what kind of a house. It has to be a double story. But in that house, there is a mouse also. So if your status is determined by your house, then the mouse that is in the house, you also should respect that mouse very greatly. Because it's also staying in a double story. And in fact, it is the makhdoom. It is the one that is being served. And you are the khadim. You have to pay the water and light account. You have to pay, you have to do the maintenance of the house. And that mouse is staying free of charge. If you find its food ready all the time. But if that mouse makes this great mistake of attributing its status, I'm staying in a double story house. And I'm staying here like the king. Everyone is serving me. How that mouse will be fooled. Just like for example, the mouse, it started nibbling here, nibbling there, eating the potatoes, the tomatoes. Now it went a step further and it nibbled at the scarf of the housewife. Now she became very angry. This mouse is going too far now. He's even eating my clothes now, my scarf, etc. So she buys a mouse trap. And there you get all different types. The one where it will get trapped in, and they will let the cat loose on that mouse. Now that mouse will realize that what my status is. When it's in the claws of the rat, of the cat. And the cat also doesn't just kill that mouse immediately. And what torture that mouse must be going through. Seeing this dragon, like for us a dragon, who is playing with you and not taking your life. But you know your life is going to go eventually. And you see the claws of the dragon, like the mouse sees of the cat, etc. Or the other trap, that they put a cheese or a piece of roti, and where the mouse will come and sniff there and eat, and when it bites, and it puts little pressure there, and releases the spring on the other side, that whole thing will come suddenly on top of it and kill it instantly. How that mouse will die if we put our value to our material things like that. Whether it is our cell phone we are attaching value to, the time will come when Hafidatur Rafi'a. One of the names of the day of Qiyamah in Surah Waqi'ah. That the day of Qiyamah is the one of the names of Qiyamah, which is Khafidha, that many people who in this world, they were very, very high. They top cell phones and houses and the cars, 4x4s, and the features in the car and everything, but no Iman, or they were mu'mineen, but no Salat, or anything like that, no deen in their lives. And those people who were atheists, those people who were purely dunya people, non-believers, didn't believe in Allah. On the day of the year in this world, they were very high. But Qiyamah day, khafidha, they will be thrown very low. They will be right at the bottom. And the day is a day, rafi'a. A person who was an ordinary Muslim, he had nothing really in this world, simple life, a very, very simple person, but he was particular about his namaz, particular about his deen, observing the commands of Allah Ta'ala. In this world, nobody, one time, in the majlis of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one person passed by. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what is your opinion of this person who passed by? He said that he's a man of top status, a person that if he proposes, nobody will ever even make istikhara or mashura, they will accept immediately. If he has to intercede for anyone, his intercession will be accepted. He's a top man. After a little, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept quiet. After a little while, another person passed and asked him again, what do you think about this person? He said, he's a person who got no status, he's got no position in society, nobody will listen. If he talks, nobody will listen. If he intercedes, nobody will accept his intercession, his sifarish or anything. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the second person is better than the whole world filled with the first type of people. So this is that we have to see, don't attach our value to things which haven't got value. How foolish is that person who makes his value to a thing that hasn't got value. This house, we know, it becomes rubble eventually. This car, it goes in a scrapyard. What is its condition when it is in the scrapyard there? Clothes of ours, if that is what gives us value, these clothes become torn and tattered. They are used for dirty and filthy work. They are thrown in the dustbin. They are thrown away. They are burnt up. They say they don't have any value. Our value will be when we attach our things that have got value. Once Subhanallah has got eternal value. And so much value that the place from the earth to the skies get full with the reward of it. It is so, once Subhanallah, and we all should say Subhanallah now. Once Subhanallah, on the pan of scales on the day of Qiyamah, will bring that whole pan down. Tamla'ul Mizan. It fills up the whole scale also. So with that, and a person who attaches himself with Allah Ta'ala, that person has got value. So these material things, whatever they are, they don't have any value whatsoever. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. When the people paid no attention, they made nasya mansiya, as though it doesn't exist also. What they were reminded of over and over. Tabligh Jamaat comes, makes announcement that our success of deen, dunya, akhirat is only in following the commandments of Allah, in the sunnat pattern of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When they make a'lan, the same thing. When they go for ghash, the same thing. They make bayan, the same thing. Ulama make bayan, Friday, Jummah bayans, other time they make bayans. All this kitabs that are written, everything that is taught in a Darul Ulum, in a Khanka, we are reminded all the time that our success is not with material things. Our success is when we attach ourselves with Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those people, al-izzat and honor is only with Allah, and with His Rasul, and with the mu'mineen, with the believers. And that is when they have got iman in them, those people, there is izzat, there is honor. So if we attach ourselves with those things, well, we have izzat and honor also. And the test will come whether you are just an opportunist, whether you are just going with the wind, that it's not just that one day you made namaz, now you have become successful. No, through thick and thin. When there will be rainy days, are you still coming for namaz? When the days when you feel very sleepy and you had a late night or the whole night, one mosquito didn't allow you to sleep the whole night. One bed bug didn't allow you to sleep. Then for Fajr, are you still going to be getting up or not? Other things that happen, Allahu Akbar. There are such incidents where people made what sacrifices, but they didn't let a namaz go without jamaat. May Allah give us also tawfiq. Otherwise, for us, the most flimsy excuse, and we must our jamaat also, we must. Jamaat itself, namaz itself also, we must. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So if we attach ourselves with these things, these are the things that what Quran Sharif a person attaches himself. What honor won't Allah give that person who attaches himself with Quran Sharif? So all these things will give us. So as their cell phone, جِي فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Then we, Allah Ta'ala says, when they paid no attention, and they only went in dunya, Allah says Himself, we opened the doors of everything upon them. Where at one time, there wasn't a phone in a town. One family had a phone. Whoever wanted to phone used to, had to go and beg them. Very, very important. Some funeral message, or somebody is dying or something. Then there was a phone on every street. Then a phone came in every house. And today, a phone in every pocket. And not one phone, how many phones? Once we were having a breakfast at one place, and one person, he used his phone, and he dialed. And he dialed his own phone in the other pocket. Now he's speaking and he can't care, he's not understanding what's happening. He's getting confused. He's phoning to himself now, from one of his phone to one, and people keep two phones, three phones, how many phones? Especially when you go through the security at the airport, you see how many phones are coming out. One person, so many phones. So that has become. And what the future is going to hold, only Allah knows. That what will be the phone system and communication system of the future and transport system, only Allah knows. But really our value is with deen, and our value is not with anything else. So this phone, we have to be very careful, and don't make our status according to the phone that we keep. If you don't need a phone as such, today it has been created. Every person needs a phone. You must have it with you all the time. Whether you're in the toilet, your phone. In namaz, the phone starts ringing. And also this phone, we should be very careful. Amongst the many other things also, the ringing tone of it. We should not keep a musical tone. Many of our friends still, we've got musical tones on it. Just to emphasize, hopefully, inshallah, upon myself, upon all of us, that how harmful and terrible it is to have a ringing, to have a musical tone as a ringtone on our phone. One of our ustads, he went for Umrah very many years ago, and it was one of the silent namazes, most probably Asr or Zuhr, and one person standing very close to the Imam, he had a phone with a ringing tone on it. With a musical tone as a ringtone, and it rang while the namaz was on. So it's pin drop silence at that time, and his phone rang, and those imams' mics are so powerful there. The imam's mic picked up that music, and from Masjid al-Nabawi in the month of Ramadan, music was playing from the imam's mic, and that is in the whole of the Haram Sharif, and those mics are outside the Haram also. Everywhere, the whole area, and Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hayatul Nabi, alive in his qabr, and there this phone is ringing there. How sad, isn't it? How terrible when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I came to break musical instruments. Today in his own masjid, from the Imam's mic, music is playing. Or you are standing in front of Rawdah Mubarak, you are reading Salatul Salam, and your phone is ringing and it's got a musical tone in it. Right in front where you have to present yourself to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most humble form, in the form that would be that which he would appreciate the most. Try and be like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your dressing, your beard, your everything. And here you come and you've got a cell phone. And as we read yesterday, that amongst the other curses of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is on those people who take photos. And today photos are being taken right in front of Rawdah Mubarak. right in front of Kaaba Sharif. So this all, only we shouldn't just take it for we feel hurt. We should feel hurt. And on that hurt also there is great reward from Allah Ta'ala, and Allah appreciates that. But try and pass it on to others. We don't tell anyone. Who we can tell also that we change this musical tone. Once we were in one place, one person that we had grown used to, we became a little bit informal. So I told him, how nice if you will keep a beard. My host, who was all that most of the time was, he told me, I'm surprised that you tell him about the beard. He says, with our other alim friends, I never heard anyone tell anyone. That is one great weakness that has come in the ummah, who we can tell, where we can tell, but we don't speak about it. We don't tell anyone about the trousers, lift it above the ankles. Our own children, we don't speak. And children, they are more clean, much more clean-hearted than what we are. You can tell them. And many of them listen also, but we don't ever tell. You can't just tell anyone. He might just swear you back also, till you have got some affinity, some relationship. But not also that your whole life passes and you don't tell anyone. And there is a way to say things also. Not in such a way that you abuse the person, you belittle him, you humiliate him, you insult him, and then that person doesn't like you, and you say, I spoke the truth, I don't care if he doesn't like me. The truth also you must speak, the right thing, but you must say it in the right way also. Don't insult him in front of everyone. In a nice way, but also see that if he won't listen to you, he listen to somebody else. And then you tell that person, and for that purpose it won't be ghibat also. And you tell that person. So anyway, so the cell phone is something very, very dangerous. And we have got a problem with the students in the madrasa. And because of which we had to disconnect the plugs, because they charge the phones on the plugs, etc. In fact, they are watching all the things, what had been plugged in, and people donated madrasa to the donated money to the madrasa, not for students to come and watch films, or even worse, some things worse than films also, the porn, etc. And now the students are students, okay, they are young boys, they do all wrong things, but we can't condone it also, it has to be corrected. But very sadly, those of us who have come for etikaf also, and at the beginning we said, please give in your cell phones, or switch it off when you want to phone home, and tell them they don't have to phone you. When you are free, for half a minute you will speak to them, 1 minute, though it's not necessary also. The more longer a person stays in seclusion, yeah, what is this what we have come for, etikaf and our islah, that to cut ourselves off from the creation. We left our families, we left our businesses, unless there is some real urgency and emergency that has happened, it's different. Otherwise, yeah, we have come to build our contact with Allah Ta'ala. And this other will break it. Shah Abdul, in the time of Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali, one great Sheikh, Shah Khalid Kurdi Rahmatullah Ali, who was from Syria, an Arab, he went for Islah to India, and he went into the Khanqah of Shah Ghulam Ali Rahmatullah Ali. And then he was spending 40 days for his Islah. And Shah Abdul Aziz, what a great, great, great alim he was. He came and meet that an Arab alim came for Islah to India. So he went and meet him. But he replied, I'm sorry, I cannot meet you. Otherwise my chilla will get spoiled. But you're such a great alim, it does not behove me that I expect you to come and meet me after my chilla. After my chilla, I will come personally to meet you. And I will come and meet you. So this in between our chilla, there's too much contact here, there, even permissible contact. That is why we are not getting seeing the fruit then of our chillas. We are giving our chillas, but we haven't cut ourselves off from the other connections. We have to have this one connection with Allah Ta'ala. And then see, so the cell phone and the use of it, and this especially watching films on it, listening to many nasheeds and many nazams, etc. But today, very, very sadly, many qiraats of Quran have also got music in the background. Nasheeds even more. And some of it, like that, you can't say it's music. But the whole, it's a music thing. You can make out. Any person listens to it, he hears, he knows it's music carrying on. You tell the person, no, it's only some, we are just stepping on the table or something. But the effect of it is music. This is also totally haram. And then again, in the masjid that we are doing this, and we have come for our islah. So really, if we want, we appeal to all the friends. Otherwise, some mashura is carrying on to disconnect the plugs. And then nobody will like that again. That if we disconnect the plugs, and then that will cause another problem again. But if we are forced to do it, we will have to do it. And if we don't, we must use the facility which is provided. And that facility, in fact, was put, there are quite a few plugs, especially on the upstairs. That for people, they will, at those days when it was made, there was no cell phone story. And the plugs were put so that people will want to read Quran Sharif at night. So they can put their little lamp and not disturb other people with that little light, they can be reading Quran Sharif. But opposite, in the day now, we are watching films here. In the masjid, we are watching, I hope not anything worse than that. And we are listening to all this nasheeds, etc. So all of us will inshallah cooperate, that we will avoid this. And still now too, if you can, give your phone to Maulana Musa Kaji, to any of the in the office, and that you don't need it. And if we keep it, keep it switched off. Don't keep it on. And don't keep a phone away with internet, just the basics. And we say that on WhatsApp, etc., it comes out like free almost, bundles you buy, and you're hardly paying for a call. You're sending messages, make the little expense, prepare a little, send much less the messages. You don't have to send messages to the whole world that you are here in Etikaf and you're all right. Nobody even really reads your message with any interest. You sending it to all your groups and all everyone. Well, they're not interested in you also. You perhaps your family, they you arrived safely. One, make a phone call. Make the extra money. Take the money. Spend the extra money and tell them I'll contact you perhaps after a week or 10 days. Or at the end of Etikaf when I'm coming home. There's too much of contact, even this permissible contact. And Rosa, what is Rosa after all? That you are giving up permissible things. It's Rosa, it's not that you must stay away from haram, from liquor, from pork and all that. No, from halal things. That is the training of Rosa. Ramzan's training is to give up legal. Your wife is your legal wife, halal wife. But you can't have right during the day your permissible halal wife, for which there is so much thawab other times. But for this year, your legal and permissible. And your legal and permissible food that you have, 100% halal food you have got, earned also of halal means. But during the month of Ramadan, during the day, we're not allowed to have it. So this also, or the permissible, to contact the family, etc., cut it down to the very bare minimum. Really, if we are serious, we can't monitor. And we can't police everyone. And that's not our job also. Our job is to let know, and let everyone know. And then it depends on the individual. But don't let us take any steps which we don't like to take, disconnecting of all the plugs, etc., inconveniencing those people who are using it for a proper use, etc. And then we can't tell this person, Mr. A, no, we know you all right, no problem. And Mr. B, no, you not all right. How can we differentiate that? We just have to make one rule for everyone. So please do cooperate. And our free time that we have is like, for example, after Zohar. And that is not free time. Go and take a little rest so that you can be fresh again from Asr till the night, till Isha. And after that again, you have your little savouries, whatever, no problem, little something you have. Then either you go and sleep and get up early, a little bit. You don't, not the whole night also. Whatever time you can give some ibadat or make ibadat a bit at night. And then you get up just in time for sehri or whatever it is, whichever way you want to program yourself. But let us not abuse the facilities that are provided and the food that people are given, and people look up. These people are making itikaf. 40 days after Kaaf they are sitting. 30 days I think they are coming for the Islah during these times when we know what is happening everywhere else. And these people, but in the meantime, the picture is of Islah, of Etikaf and all that. But in the meantime, if if we are doing something else, then that is not correct at all. May Allah save us. Then one further thing, more they worse than the cell phone also, for which we don't even have to pay, is the internet of the heart. That you just open up and you get connected to where and where you get connected. And that internet is even in namaz. Sometimes 4 rakats of asr namaz we read, we were not at all connected to Allah Ta'ala. We were connected to any and everything besides Allah. And sometimes to the most filthiest and dirtiest things also a pop-up comes in your namaz also. And you're facing what terrible things. So control that also as much as we can. And if a person makes little effort to control his eyes where it starts, and then he controls the phone, he will be able to control to a great extent his thoughts also and his what things come into his mind. When these things do come in your mind, then if you are in namaz, read in your heart, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Make dua to Allah, Ya Allah, please, I'm in namaz, I don't want this thought just has come. But to, and also remember, this also inshallah we will discuss, many people ask about this also, wasawis, thoughts that come to a person. All types of thoughts that needs a little lengthy discussion, and we will come to that as a particular subject, specific subject inshallah. And hopefully it will help us also. But anyway, in short, when these thoughts come to us, all these funny thoughts, may read وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ in your heart, which is very effective. Read أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, which is very, very effective. You're taking Allah's protection. Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali has given a beautiful example of this, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali Jazahumullah Khair many times explained to us. Like you go to a very, very top person according to dunya status, to a man who is very wealthy, top position, he's got lot of security. In his security, not only Alsatian dogs he has got, but Rottweilers, other more even, in fact there are certain breeds of wolves are trained today for security purposes. And those animals will tear you apart if you go there. So you go to his house, but there is this wild beast there, and you're a stranger. And one friend of us told, the milkman or somebody came, and he told that he wants to come. He said, just keep your distance. Let me first put the dog on. He said, I'm not afraid of dogs. But when the dog got busy with him, then he knew what the dog can do. So may Allah protect us all. So anyway, But you go there, all you have to do is get the attention of the owner. When you get the attention of the owner, when he comes out and he just looks at the dog, and just with his eyes he makes a sign, the dog will sit down. And in the presence of the owner, the dog won't do you anything. Now you can stand right next to the dog also. It won't touch you at all. It won't do you a thing. If you have still got some fear, he'll make a sign for the dog to go away. The dog will just go with its tail between its legs, and it will walk away. It won't do you a thing. This is A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan. So to say, Shaitan is the dog of Allah. Allah, A'udhu Billahi, doesn't need security. But Allah kept Shaitan as a test for us, that you'll get involved in all Shaitan's planning and tricking, or you'll just push him aside and you'll tell me, Ya Allah, I want to come to you. But Shaitan is putting this thought in my mind. Shaitan is calling me to that. Shaitan is telling me to that. You protect me from Shaitan. That dog, all it can do, the physical dog or that wild wolf, it can tear you to pieces, which is no small thing also. But Shaitan will put you into Jahannam. And then what will happen to you? So Allah has given us, and to get the attention of the owner of the house. Perhaps he's not answering his phone. Today, though we got cell phone, many people got the problem, he's not answering the phone. Or the phone is engaged all the time. But Allah's phone, Allah never ever, it's never ever that Allah doesn't answer it. And it's never that Allah's phone is engaged or anything. And it is not that Allah left his phone at home. Many people, when they phone on the cell phone or your own cell phone, and you find my phone is at home. I forgot it at home. Unless there is no question of that. And so easy to remember the number of Allah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And you made contact with Allah Ta'ala. So when these thoughts come in namaz, etc., while making zikr, etc., make your connection with Allah. And seek protection and refuge from shaitan and all the temptations he puts. So one of the things which needs also a lot of explanation, we will never ever be able to go into the detail, but somewhat we will a little bit more about the roza of the eyes. Learn to keep roza of the eyes. And that roza of the eyes for us, practically for us here, there are no other women here, alhamdulillah. Some masjids, at the cleanest of the masjid, they keep women cleanest. And they keep non-Muslim women. And those days come over the woman when they're not allowed. A Muslim woman also not allowed in a masjid under normal circumstances. And like that also in her menses, where can she be allowed? And other women, but yeah, alhamdulillah, we haven't got that. There are no women. So that is a thing where we can be trained easily. But with our cell phone, let us be on our guard. Very much. Don't look at news also. If the news reader is a woman, it's not permitted to look at the news reader also. And if it's a man, it's not permitted for a woman to look at the man. All this, the sports and all the clothing. How sad. Some students of ours, they met some other students, and those students told them, look at this, a boxing match on the cell phone. He said, no, it's not permitted. It's not allowed to see photos. He says, no, our Mufti Sahib gives permission. There is nothing wrong with it. So today, that is the case when everyone is giving permission. So anyway, in all this boxing, how are they dressed? Even if a photo is not permitted, and then they're dressing again, a soccer player, or all the other, how many sports, what the dressing is, the news readers, etc. How can this be allowed? So don't say that I only keep it for sports. I only keep it for news. And you are not a top politician that you have to know the news of the world all the time. That you have to be making decisions. Tomorrow you have to make a decision in parliament. And you have to know what is happening and what the waves are of the people, how their moods are and what they think. You know, poor politician or anyone, you are here to make contact with Allah Ta'ala. So be careful. Keep the rozas of the eyes also. Allah give us all tawfiq. We still have to walk on the street, etc. Allah give us tawfiq. And inshallah, we will explain how our Shaykh explained that roza of the eyes, what the value is by Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.